go, long hairs. Welcome to another episode of Let It Ride. It is our mission to inspire confidence, develop masculinity, and foster community among guys growing their hair. So if you're a guy with long hair, you are in the right place. If you're new here, we have a few different types of programs on the podcast, from the Long Hairs Professional Series, which is kind of like most of our shows. That's where we bring on a guest who are experts in their respective fields, and they are rocking the flow as a professional. We just talk about their life, their career, and how the hair has affected what they are doing in business. It's pretty cool. Then we got another program here called The Lounge, which is all the guys that work here at the HQ hanging, discussing culture, answering questions from the field, and generally just kind of shooting the shit and hanging out. And then we also have Fireside Readings, which you kind of have to go deep into the podcast on that, but I think it's something we should consider bringing back, and that's where one of us go in and actually read one of our blog posts from the wealth of content that we have over at the blog.thelonghairs.us and kind of give our own take on that post. So maybe, media producer, you could bring that one back in. Okay, but so today, guys, we have the lounge, and we are literally sitting in the lounge here at the Long Hairs HQ in San Diego. And you know what? We would love for you guys to come see this place in person and also sit in the lounge with us. And guess what? I have a weekend where you can. Get your calendar out right now and mark the date. It will be March 15th of 2024, the day before our world record charity hair donation event benefiting children with hair loss, The Great Cut, which is taking place on March 16th here in San Diego. I'm putting this on the record now because on March 15th, we'll be having some type of meet and greet hangout session at the warehouse, and all the participants will be invited. It'll be a pre-party of sorts, and we're all going to get together and just be ready for what we are about to embark on, which is going to be a grueling 24-hour haircutting extravaganza, breaking our own world record and setting the new standard for the most hair donated in 24 hours, with 1,000 pounds coming from the heads of the many men, women, girls, and boys making their sacrifice for kids who can't grow their own hair. Maybe I'm a little heavy on the weight there, but it's gonna be a lot, boys. It's gonna be a lot. Okay, so look, it's gonna be absolutely legendary. So make sure you check out all the details over at our newly revamped site, thegreatcut.us. We also have some kick-ass apparel over there that's just ready for you to get, ready to ship your way. All the pieces have a key design element to them, which is the Growing My Hair to Donate measurement tool blasted on the back. It is super sick, and it lets you know where you're at in your donation hair growing and donation journey. Hundreds of people already have these shirts. And you know what? You don't just need to take my word for it. Over at the site, we also have a hair update gallery. And while you're there, check it out. We're constantly updating it, and folks from all over the country and even the world, I don't know if you guys saw, with their shirts. It's really, honestly, it's freaking spectacular, and we are just so stoked. So you can see all that and get pumped for The Great Cut at thegreatcut.us, and you could sit here in this very lounge with us. So let's get into the actual show here. Today we got the warehouse manager, aka El Sicario, also known as Jose.
What's up?
Here along with the media producer, Garf, aka L. Garvinsky, and the creative director, Sean, aka Elefante, and myself, the president, Lindsay, aka El Moreno. What's up, all? Y'all?
What's
Yo. Up? What's up, dude?
All right, I know I kind of stumbled around there, and that was a lot of content good, to read through. Maybe I got to tighten up my new intro there, but I feel good about all the.
So we got a lot
stuff
to go
in there, right?
I have no
plenty
idea.
Of things.
That's good. That's
yeah,
good.
There's a lot. There's just a lot going on, dude. That intro is. Kind of summarizes how freaking busy we are right now.
Yeah,
so
and we didn't even
on.
Mention products or anything.
Yeah, it's okay.
Which, by the way, new single bottles are available. So if you need a single bottle of shampoo or conditioner,
yes.
they're available on the
it
website right now for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah. Something well, like since that. We had the plastic bottle, so yeah. Yes, it's yeah. been
cool. So if you need a single
time.
Bottle, grab a single bottle.
A lot of people requested that. Happy we're offering it, and I think the next thing up will be a subscription too.
Ooh.
But yes. We got to work through kind of that.
Yeah.
All right, so we're here in the lounge, guys, and today I want to focus on just something that kind of all four of us have in common over the last year. But I got a DM. We got a DM the other day on Instagram, and it really kind of touched me and made me realize, hey, let's get the guys together and let's talk about this. So, you know,
we have not heard this question.
No, none of the guys have heard this question.
Moreno, for those of you watching, Moreno's the only guy that knows the question. We're about to hear it live right now.
Yep. And you know, over the last year and a half, all four of us here have really made some big mind shifts, specifically in the way we've been treating our bodies, treating our fitness. We really have all focused hard on that and just our personal developments and making some pretty drastic changes. And we've all taken a different approach, you know, and that's really kind of what today's show is going to be about. But we're going to answer this question here because I think it leads us into where we want to go here on today's show. So let's get to the question. I am almost out of the awkward stage and I'm really concerned about my health. I'm 350 pounds and 6 feet tall. I know I really should lose at least 100 pounds, but I don't want to cut calories so much that it would make my hair growth come to a halt. So I guess what I'm asking is, how can I best lose weight and grow my hair at the same time? So kind of a lot to unpack there.
Yes.
That's a lot of weight wanting to lose.
Sure.
Yeah. 100 pounds is like massive.
Yes.
My kind of initial reaction is, dude, don't worry about the hair.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, like,
take care of yourself.
Get the body yeah. right. Get a program going.
Yeah. I want to jump on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never been 300 pounds. I'm 6'2. And I think at my most overweight, I was 270. So closer to 300 than not, right?
Sure. But
And I don't even know what I'm down to right now, but my body type is, cause you know, some guys there's ectomorphs, endomorphs, mesomorphs.
Yeah.
So I'm an endo, which means if I don't exercise, I get fat. I just gain weight. I'm not naturally thin.
Yeah.
Right? And so, I can, that resonates with me. This guy, you know, he's not sure what he could change, but clearly, like, first of all, he's already passed step one. I hope he's listening. He's already passed step one, which is identifying there is a problem.
Yes.
Right. And you accepting that whatever it is you are doing is not working.
Yeah.
And I've been there too, where I think I'm like, nah, dude, I'm good. Like, yeah, I'm kind of fat, but I'm strong, you know? And it's like, yeah, but you're still fat.
Yeah.
And not fat, like look in the mirror and you're whatever, like, ooh, you're just, you got a big gut. It's like, no, like unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I am unhealthy at this size.
Obese,
right?
If you will.
Obese. So like from the medical standpoint, you're obese. And so I'm on 75 hard right now, which we'll circle back and touch on that in a second. But this is actually my second, technically my third run through. I did it once successfully on the first shot. Thank you very much. Then I did it again. I started February 1st and I lasted one day because I was dealing with some mental health issues and I literally was like, I can't fucking deal with this right now.
Yeah.
And then I started over again, like February 15th or some, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And like I'm speed ahead. I think today's like day 46 or something. I don't know. It's like somewhere in there, mid-40s. Yeah. I said all that to say this. What this go through on 75 hard, because last time I lost 20 pounds, I started to see abs again. Like, wow, that hadn't happened in a long time. And then I was great. Finished it, felt awesome. Lost weight, better shape, right? And then I had some mental health issues around the beginning of the year. And then, boom, I just ballooned back up.
Mm.
And so I actually went back and reread a book that I'm reading right now called Organize Tomorrow Today. And that book, it touches on a lot of things, but one of the core lessons in that book is process. You got to be process oriented over result oriented, right? Mm. So result oriented means I step on the scale. Oh, look, I'm 1 pound down. That's a great, great result, right? I'm on the right track. But what am I doing to make sure that I don't, that pound doesn't come back.
Yeah.
That's the process, right? It's not, I'm going to get to this magic number on the scale and then I'm good forever. It's like, no, this is, I have to, this is my new life now.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not going to keep losing forever, but what's the process that's going to help me not gain that weight back again?
Yeah.
Right. And so, what I would tell this guy is don't think of like, oh, I need to be, I'm 300. I need to be 200. Right. Don't think about the end.
The poundage goal. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, the number is bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I trained under a guy, many years ago, excellent trainer. But, one of the things he taught me that was super important was fuck the scale, because you're going to look in the mirror and you're going to know, I don't like this about myself. You know, I think, and not like I hate this body. You got to love your body all the way through.
Yeah.
But essentially, I look at my arms. You know what? I think I could have bigger arms. Or you know what? My chest needs a little work. Maybe my gut's too big. There's not a magic number attached to that aesthetic, right? So maybe he's going to hit 240 and be like, you know what? I look great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's a long way of saying don't think of the end goal. Just think, what could I do more than I'm doing right now? And if you're, you know, very overweight, then there's probably a lot of options.
Yeah.
Hey, go for a 45 minute walk every day.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
But every day, that's the process, not the result.
Yeah.
Right. What can I change forever? Right. And so not, I'm going to work out 3 times a day and I'm going to be in a 600 calorie deficit and I'm going to, you know, do all this shit. It's like, no, dude, you're already setting yourself up to fail.
Exactly.
You know, small incremental changes, just like you didn't wake up and you were 300 pounds one day. You're not going to wake up and be 200 pounds tomorrow.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. What can I change in my process forever?
Yep.
That's going to help me like incrementally change my body to be more healthy. And tying that back into hair, if you do that approach to losing weight, you're not going to destroy your hair because you're like nutritionally deficient or your hormones are out of whack, right?
Yeah.
You know, just make better food choices. Hey man, I'm going to do 30 minutes of exercise today, you know, something like that. And then dude, you know, obviously you're intending to be here a year from now, right? You're not planning to die tomorrow. So do you want to be the guy a year from now that is still the same weight, but you're still here? Or, hey, you know what? I did 30 minutes a day for 365 days and I lost 75 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that lifestyle shift.
Yeah.
And you make a great point that he already did take the first step of throwing a goal out there.
Yeah.
Right. Like he knows he wants to change. I do think it is helpful if you hit some type of, you know, maybe not rock bottom is the best word, but a point where you're like, I'm just so sick of this. Like,
I've been there.
I'm so done. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And when you hit those points, that's when you have the opportunity to really make the change.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, you got to stack up. What is the thing you're going to do? Don't worry about the calories. Don't worry about your hair. Worry about what systems are you putting in place to change your life? Because that is what the problem is. How did we get to 100 pounds overweight? By doing the wrong things.
Yeah.
And to stop doing the wrong things is not just easy. You're not just going to be like, all right, I'm committed to losing 100 pounds.
Yeah.
The next day, you know, maybe that motivation will ride you out for 3 days.
Yeah.
But day 4 or 5 is when you're going to have to dig in.
Or day 45.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, totally.
Not everyone's, I mean, no one's David Goggins. There's only one David Goggins. So not everyone's a psychopath that can just, I'm just going to walk outside and run 100 miles, right? That's not you. So just don't think of it as like total lifestyle change. Let's do this. Like motivational quotes everywhere, right? It's like, nah, man. Just do 1% difference. Do you remember last year when I told you guys we were 180 days out from Black Friday?
Yeah.
It's like, if you change 1 degree every day, 180 degrees means I'm going in a whole different direction now.
Yep.
So in your fitness journey, let me just do a 1 degree change every day. Maybe it's I'm going to walk today. You know what? I'm going to do 100 push-ups, not all at once.
Yeah.
But from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep, there's going to be 100 push-ups done, right? That's already more than you did yesterday, probably.
Totally.
That's 1% difference, right? And then 20 days from now, you know what? 200 push-ups, right? Or whatever. Those are all just arbitrary numbers.
Yeah.
But so someone that has a long way to go like that, dude, life is a long way to go.
Do you think worrying more about or focusing more about getting the you know, the right steps going each day is more critical than the food. Like in the beginning, like if I say, I'm committed to this, should I just not really worry about the food right now and just worry about getting a walk in for 10 days straight?
I would say, especially when it comes to losing weight,
you got to move.
You got to move, dude. Yeah. Like our bodies are designed to be in motion. Right. And so, I mean, I'm no expert. Right. But I would say based off of my gorilla brain that the very little bit that I know about nutrition and all that stuff, I would say it's the primary concern is don't absolutely shock yourself. You shock your system.
Yeah.
With like all of a sudden only salad, only raw, yes. Like only clean chicken, like no seasoning. Like that's that's not sustainable.
You're not going to have fun doing that.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. So
you
like
make it fun.
So small incremental changes. You know what? I'm going to exercise a little bit more. And guess what? I drink 5 sodas a day. I'm going to have 4 sodas tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know? Or I go out and I get
so gross.
I go out and I get that XL meal every time. You know what? I don't need XL. I don't need the extra large fries.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get medium fries. Right? I'm going to go to the pizza like I don't need a whole freaking medium pizza. You know what? I'll go buy the slice. I'll buy 2 slices and I'm done.
Yeah.
You know? Small incremental changes is the key to keeping the fucking weight off, dude. And I know that because like I said, I dropped a bunch of weight. I had a really hard time at the beginning of the year. And I just like that, like it took me 75 days to lose 20 pounds. And then within like 30 days, I had 20 fucking pounds back.
That's the thing too, is it's so easy. You got to look at it at your progress or what you're trying to do as a complete lifestyle change and commit to that. Because it, once you hit your thing, if it's 20 pounds, 100 pounds, do this, do that. When that's over, it's so easy just to slide right back into
very easy
what you were doing. Even if it was 8 months or 9 months, you'll say you had this great streak. It's real easy to be like right back into the old you. For some reason, that piece of crap is in there, and that's who you're at war with, with yourself.
Yeah.
I do want to bounce off of your topic of creating that system that lasts for life. You know, when you talk about doing increments, the process is so important. When you develop this process that you are comfortable with and you can handle, you're going to look for challenges. And that challenge brings on this confidence. And that confidence makes you want to maintain that system that you've developed. And it just keeps on progressing. And then now bouncing off of what El Moreno had said about having, you just got to move. Like once you move, everything just follows. Everything just falls in place. The hair, the nutrition, it just goes all together. It's this triage of everything.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And,
plus mental health.
And try everything.
Exactly.
You know, don't just think like, I got to go to the gym and lift these weights and then I'll be fit.
Right.
Maybe that's not for you, dude. I finally accepted I cannot stand going to the gym.
One size does not fit all.
Yeah. I'm actually about to start going back to the gym, but only because I really love to squat.
Yeah,
it's like my favorite exercise,
sick
and
ass.
I can't do it at home.
Yeah, see, right? Moves.
But like, I hate dumbbells. I hate that shit, dude. I hate machines. I hate all of. I hate waiting while someone's texting on their fucking phone.
Yeah,
and I just want to get my fucking 5 sets in. You know, but now it's gonna take 45 minutes. I hate that. Right, and I'm not saying the gym is wrong.
Right,
for some people, the gym is their thing.
Yeah,
right. But if you try something and you just don't connect with it, try something else. Try tennis.
So many different things.
Don't just say, I'm done.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not good at working out. Of course you're not. You've only done it twice.
Yeah.
Right? You know, try cycling. Try tennis.
Yeah.
Try walking. Try swimming. You know? Anything.
The walking one to me is just there's no excuse.
Dude,
like,
you're
literally
powerful stuff, dude.
If I could only do one thing for exercise forever, I would pick walking. I don't care if I'm not Mr. Muscle Guy anymore.
Hands down.
Seriously. Dude, walking is therapy.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Walking is therapy, dude.
It is.
That's the one thing to go back to, like, does nutrition come first or getting active come first? The for me, and I guess just for context, like, I started as skinny fat. So about 8 months ago, 9 months ago now, I just got tired of like looking at what I was seeing.
Skinny fat
in
body.
The mirror. Yeah. And I decided that I was going to start walking every day. And that was, I have a 2-mile walk that I do still to this day, every single day. There's a pier not too far from my place. It's 1 mile to the end of the pier and 1 mile back to my front door. Mm. And I started there and I did that for about, I would say 2 to 3 months, and that was it. Like, I didn't do anything else. Yeah. I was at zero, right? Like, so this guy, he's at zero. Maybe his nutrition shit, his activity level is shit. You're at zero. So if you start walking tomorrow, take 30 minutes. It's literally like 40 minutes, 45 minutes to walk 2 miles.
Yeah.
And it's really easy.
I think that's a good time to go for. Yeah. Put a watch on, 45.
Yeah.
You're going to hit a couple miles.
It's a fun activity too.
That's not even one podcast.
Right.
Yeah. That's not even one of our podcasts.
Exactly, dude.
You know? And I've done that walk, by the way. Fantastic.
It's great.
I actually, one day I clocked out from here. And I did that walk, and then I walked back, and I was literally like, dude, I'm having
it's
a perfect
beautiful day.
It's freaking beautiful, awesome. Dude. You're standing at the end, and you're looking over into Coronado, and there's the breeze and the ocean.
Boat's going
by. Like,
you gotta
try that one. Bridge, dude. And I was like, man, you can't bottle this. You can't sell this.
So at some point, to your question about nutrition, there is a saying that is, you cannot outwork a bad diet. Like, if you will get to a point where you have reached sort of you've reached the
acme,
the
apex,
I guess, the apex of like you've done it as much as you can do with just your activity level. You either need to increase your activity level or start to think about your input, what you're putting into your body. And so it's, you know, after those 2 to 3 months of walking, it was like, okay, I've kind of plateaued. What can I change? Well, it's like, well, I'm still eating a burrito like 3 to 4 nights a week for dinner. Like, I can go grocery shopping and cook 3 meals for myself at home every week. And now it's gotten to the point where I cook every single meal at home for lunch and dinner. I fast in the morning, so I don't eat from like 9 p.m. to noon. That's a great tool too. If you just consume a lot because you're big and you just like to eat, sometimes restricting your eating window can be helpful in just managing your calorie intake. And that's something, that's a tool you can use without changing your diet, but you're restricting the amount that you're eating. So that could be a good second step. So like, get active, go for walks. Step two would be restrict the amount of time available for you to eat. And then once you hit that next plateau, now you're changing what you're eating.
Yeah.
So I've kind of taken that approach where the first, you know, 6 to 10 pounds were easy. I just walked them off.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, well, I'm going to try this intermittent fasting thing out. So, you know, I'll wake up in the morning, go for my walk. And there's some science behind that too, but we don't have to get into that. And then, you know, have a cup of coffee, protein shake, and don't eat until lunchtime. And then eventually you get to that point where that plateau, the next step is like, it's time to think about your nutrition. And the biggest piece of advice that I got was just eat whole food. Like, don't eat. There's a general rule.
Real food.
When you go grocery shopping, try to shop on the outside of the grocery store. So produce, deli, you know, the meat, the butcher shop, the bakery. If you're not trying to do low carb, all that stuff is on the outside of the grocery store. That's all the fresh stuff, the non-packaged food. So if your food is coming in packages, it means it's processed. You want to eat whole foods, which could be considered, I guess, also you could use the terms clean, eating clean. But eventually you'll get to the point where no matter how much work you do, you won't be able to outpace just eating crap. You know, it just cancels each other out.
But the more you get that routine of your walk going, the more your mind you're more likely to just kind of naturally start at least doing less of the crap.
Yeah.
Cause you're starting to get some like, oh man, that's just gross.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, those feelings just start happening.
Yeah. And I think this is, we're kind of saying like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And in reality, like, I think the real answer is there is no answer. There's no like right answer. It's kind of a spectrum, give and take, push and pull. You know, maybe I want to do a little bit diet and a little bit exercise until I get fully in my process.
Yeah.
Right. For me personally, I don't really eat very dirty in general. Don't get me wrong. Prior to going back on 75 hard, I was definitely making some very questionable dietary choices. But I definitely think that your physical fitness is an amalgamation of your diet and activity. Mm-hmm. Not just, like you said, you can't really outwork a shit diet, and you can't really be fit if you're just eating clean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
You got to treat yourself every once in a while.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to have something sustainable for sure, yeah. Right? Like once in a while, hey, you know what? Maybe I will get it. I will have something nice.
Yeah.
But also, there's this like lie that clean eating is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, that just means you don't know how to cook.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's like, I mean, I have this supercomputer in my pocket. Like, use it. Look up some recipes.
Plenty.
You know?
I mean, but it's like, you could just go on chicken and steak pretty much all week with some veggies and potatoes.
Yeah.
That's solid.
Yeah. Literally what I do.
So solid. Yeah.
Every single meal. Yeah. Chicken.
You flip the sauce, too.
Rice, veggies.
And I mean, I'm not... Despite what all the shitheads on the internet say, there is not one diet for everyone.
Which we are currently shitheads on the internet right now.
No. But like, that's why I keep circling back.
But listen to us.
No, that's why I keep circling back to saying there's not one right answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the truth. That's the real
We're
secret.
Opening the doors here.
Yeah, that's the magic is there is no magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's not one. It's you got to experiment and find the thing that you know you're going to like.
Exactly.
Totally. I think there's a truth too that crash diets will not help you keep the weight off. So if you're gonna do like one of these like I'm gonna go no carb for the next
I'm gonna juice fast
yeah I'm juice fasting like those oh are God, such a dude. Trap dude they're yeah. not sustainable yeah. that you go crazy over all the stuff you can't have and it's like just eat a balanced diet of whole foods that taste good to you mm-hmm. and stuff that you like that you enjoy that you could see yourself eating for the rest of your life
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be like some gnarly diet plan that you get like from some fitness influencer off the internet.
Yeah. Two that I think just so you know, for anybody who's interested in actually taking a step further, paleo is good or Whole30. Whole30 is something we do in our family. Like that's Heidi has a recipe book of that. And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's just all whole foods.
This is something that Garvin and I have talked about. And he's definitely more knowledgeable than I am. But even if you decide to go like fully plant-based, there's a difference between plant-based diet and veganism.
Junk food. Crap.
You can be vegan horribly out of shape.
Well, there's all that processed stuff. It's like, you know.
Like, dude, Oreos are fucking vegan.
Right, dude.
You're not just going to eat Oreos all night and be like, well, I'm plant-based. Like, no, you're clearly eating garbage.
Yeah, a lot of people will talk about, you know, counting macros. Have you guys ever done that?
No. I have a bone to pick with macros, right?
Okay.
So, first of all, with utter certainty, counting your macros and all that is beneficial.
It works, right?
But to me, it's purpose-driven. If you're training for something, mm-hmm. if you're trying to like optimize, then yes, tracking your macros is great.
Is the most optimal.
It's the most optimal.
Okay.
But the average person is not trying to optimize. Like our friend that is seeking some health advice, he's not trying to optimize. He's just trying to get on track.
Right, exactly.
And then once you're on track, okay, now I'm full speed ahead. Well, let me get every last piece, you know, inch of power out of this engine now.
Yeah.
That's when you start doing macros and
boom,
you know, programming and all that stuff. But no. The average person doesn't need to worry about macros.
Yeah.
If you're really going to count anything, the average person just needs to track to make sure that their calorie in and calorie out is sound.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just it's like your checking account. Money comes in, money goes out.
Yeah.
Right? So with the diet, if you're eating more calories than you're spending, you're gaining weight, just generally speaking, right? And then vice versa. So for people that are very sedentary, they're eating, even if you don't eat a lot, but you're just very sedentary, you're going to gain weight because you're not spending those calories.
Mm. Right.
You know? So, and you don't have to have some massive deficit. If anything, like I was just talking to him last night, I really struggled with my second workout. I was just doing like this kettlebell circuit and it wasn't even like cardio intensive. It was actually more strength based, but I was like really struggling, dude. Like, and so the kettlebell was only like 55 pounds, but like when I would, like, I was doing these presses, then when I would come down, like literally my body was like, I couldn't even put it down.
Yeah.
It was like swinging my body over. And then I was like, dude, why do I feel so weak? And then I realized I was 800 calories short for the day. Like I just didn't eat enough.
Yeah.
Right. So like to me, if you're really going to get into the nitty gritty, like start small, like just track your calories. But don't get obsessive. It's not like, oh my God, I'm 100 calories off. Like I failed, right?
Exactly.
It's like, no, this is part of the process.
Yeah.
And there's a window. And some days you might be a little over. Some days you might be a little under. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah.
Totally. And I would say even for this guy too, for the first 3 months, don't even worry about that.
No.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
If you're drinking,
get those walks in, son.
Like, dude, get the walks in. And if you want to easily cut some calories, some things are like, if you're drinking soda, switch
done.
To diet soda.
Beer
or
gone.
Juice.
If
dude.
You're drinking beer, cut your beer intake in half.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just start slow.
Yeah.
You don't have to get super crazy.
Yeah.
And those, like, the beer, like, the it worst. Will fall off of you.
Yeah, it will.
If you're a drinker,
it will.
Like, yes. I was a heavy drinker for a very long time. And when I, you know, I was drinking probably 4 to 6 beers a night.
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah. I was in the same boat.
I've cut that back to 3 to 4 beers 3 days a week, you know, and that eventually, right? Like, I'll plateau there. And if I want to keep going and I want to, you know, work on the physique some more, I'll have to cut that back even further.
Sure.
Right now, I'm happy with where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's, I'm, you know, make those small incremental changes and then reassess when you plateau. And maybe you don't need to. Maybe you just you're happy with where you're at.
Yeah. And this also, I just thought of something while you're saying that. Don't compare yourself to other people.
Mm. Right.
You don't, when you, especially on Instagram, dude, or TikTok or whatever your preference of poison is.
Yeah.
Like, you got to remember, a lot of these influencers, it's their job to be fit.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, if literally your 9 to 5 was to be as jacked as possible, then of course you're going to look like that.
Yeah.
I don't believe in like unrealistic body standards unless we're talking about like surgery and shit.
Yeah.
But like, just generally speaking, in this case, technically, yes, it is unrealistic to expect that you're going to look like
the average person.
Yeah. You know,
them to look like
you're going to look like the super jack on Instagram because he's spending you don't have that kind of time to be that jacked.
Yeah.
Right. All you got to do is worry about, when you look in the mirror, do you look better than the guy that started this process?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's one thing I like about the progress pick on 75 hard. It's hard to see the difference day to day.
Yeah.
But then you look back, like, I haven't even looked back at my first photo yet, but I know if I look back, like for my first go around, you could tell, like, I had like no deltoids, just like skinny arms, my gut, dude. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I really look like that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
And then at the end, like, my delts were bigger, my traps were bigger. I was starting to see abs. I was like, holy crap. Like, that's my mental image of myself. And yet I had fallen off so hard. I didn't realize that I looked like this fucking bag of donuts over here.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't even realize how bad you are sometimes.
Yeah.
And,
dude, I made a joke because yesterday I was doing my progress pick. And I was like, man, I don't know if I'm not like losing weight fast enough or if I was fatter than I thought right now. I can't. But then like today I realized like my belt is on the very last notch and that my pants are still falling. And I was like, no, I'm definitely, I was fatter than I thought. Like that was the problem.
I wanted to bounce off of don't compare yourself to others.
Yeah.
It comes back to the knowledge of self. You got to know yourself. First and foremost, if you don't like running or if you don't like certain foods, you got to know what substitutes you can find that are appropriate to your goals. And that's something I want to throw out there because a lot of people, they look at what works for other people. But you have to ask yourself, you got to do the journaling and really
dig deep.
Dig deep. And you're like, oh, I don't really like, you know, I may be plant-based, but like it's not for everybody. I like it. But if you go like, you know, I got to have my steak, I got to have my carne asada burritos or my hamburgers once in a while, there's an alternative for that. And that's the beauty of everything. So you got to dig deep, go find yourself and have fun. And it also does help to have people kind of like-minded around you.
Yeah.
When you guys started doing the 75 hard and when I started talking to Sean about his routine, I started finding variants of like, oh, dude, I can spice this up. After I heard that he started walking over to the HQ, I was like, dude, I'm just going to do freaking walk to the trolley, take the trolley over here.
Yeah.
That's 4 miles for me every fucking day.
Yeah.
And that like spruced me up. And it's nice to know that you could kind of share tips and tricks and it helps others, whether you're listening or sharing.
Yep.
And, you're not alone. So what I'm trying to say to you or anybody else out there is that you'll find, you know, whether you join a running club, you'll find the group of people that are down.
Yeah, and I was going to hit on that. It's like explore some other things that could get you moving like that, like a running club or walking club or
try everything
or some hiking thing or whatever. Anything like that. So much stuff out there. Yeah. I don't know, you know, wherever you live, there's going to be things like that. Another thing in the same vein is, you know, put a date on the calendar for something that's going to be tough.
Oh,
like the date is going to come and you're going to have to be ready to do it. You're either going to get your ass whooped or you're going to be, you know, now this is, I don't think this is the same thing. This isn't going to work for everybody, but if you have a similar, like for me, that is critical. Like I have to have that date. Spartan races I've been doing the last couple of years have like been that for me. Put that on the calendar. It's like, dude, that shit's 100 days out. Like, I can't waste any time here. Like, or else I'm going to get smoked. And what's really cool that's happened is I just kind of started that. I signed up for my first race by myself. My cousin figured out I was doing it. He signed up. Yeah. So then we did our first one together.
Yeah.
And then some other buddies like saw us do that one and they're like, hey, we want in. And they're, so there's now in like our second year doing it, there's, we have a group of like six guys who are all competing coming up in May 20th in this Big Bear race. And that comes back to like, you know, what you're like, oh shit. Like I open up Strava. I'm like, fuck, Keith put in 8 miles today.
Yeah.
I better get out there, dude. Like, you know, there's just, so that can help, you know, that's not mandatory. Doesn't, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But if you are the type of person where you have a tough time, maybe having the self-discipline to get yourself up, go in and just go do the workout by yourself, those mechanisms you could put into place, a date on the calendar and or other people, you know, competing at some level of competition will get your ass like fired up. 'Cause I think, you know, all men, this is part of masculinity, like we have a desire to compete.
Yes.
And if you're not, once you kind of get a little taste for it, you're going to be more hungry for it, more hungry for it. That can really get you your momentum going. And it has for me.
It's all fun. It's all fun.
My only caveat to that would be don't get sucked into the finish line mindset.
No, totally. That's why, like, so right when the race is over, like literally at the race or using the race as an example, sign up for the next one that day you're there.
Exactly.
Because it's like, all right, new day is on the calendar.
Yeah. You know? There's no like, oh, I did it. Let me, now I'm going to go crazy for 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Gain it all back.
Back to the beers and donuts. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no finish line.
Yeah.
The finish line is when you're in that coffin and they're lowering your ass into the ground.
Exactly.
You know? And I will say, I actually want to move on to another aspect of personal wellness, but a perfect example of kind of have something to work towards is, for me, it's my birthday.
Mm.
Every fucking birthday is a privilege, because not everybody, like at some point we all hop off this train, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I make my birthday the hardest day of the year.
Mm.
Right? So for the last 2 years, I did the Great Ruck, right? You joined on the last one.
Broke my knee.
Yeah.
But he came back.
So for those of you that don't know what rucking is, especially if you're in the Marine Corps, you do it, you know, pretty regularly, hopefully. I don't know what your MOS was, but so essentially it's, you put a pack on, pack weighs a lot, and you just essentially hike or march, whatever you want to call it, very far. So for me, I would ruck, my weight would be my 8 years. So 31 pounds, 32 pounds, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the distance would be my age in miles. And it's fucking hard, dude. Yeah. I mean, one of the hardest things, like this last year was actually, a little bit easier than the year before, mainly because I was logistically a little more prepared. Mm. But it being the hardest thing I do that year has like multiple benefits for me. Number one, I was really training, getting in better shape to do this really fucking hard thing.
Yeah.
But two, it's like, if I'm having a shitty day, it's like, nah, man, I already had my worst day. Mm-hmm. When you know you've already had your worst day, then it's all downhill.
Yeah.
From there.
Yeah.
You know?
Love that approach, because a lot of people are like, I'm gonna rage on my birthday. Get hammered or whatever.
No, and it's like, dude, how many, I want to keep having these
different rage.
I want to keep having these birthdays, right?
Yeah.
It's like, well, how am I going to make sure that I get to the next one? And I think that a lot of people get very comfortable, especially in this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I am a very proud American. Like, I am so privileged to be here as opposed to many other places. But I think that one of the huge detriments of American life is how much we are taught to or conditioned to chase comfort.
Exactly.
And I heard a very interesting opinion either this morning or yesterday morning. I don't even remember anymore. But essentially, like, your average man doesn't really experience any real adversity anymore. Like, we don't have to hunt. We don't have to, generally speaking, we do, there's no, like, major conflicts that all of us are involved in, right? So then we just get stuck in this very sedentary, like, pleasure-seeking lifestyle of, like, watching 6 hours of Netflix or... You know, one thing that makes me crazy when people say, like, oh, I don't have time to work out. It's like, give me your phone.
Yeah.
I'm going to look at your screen time.
Yeah. There's 8 hours.
Three hours of TikTok on there. Like, you had time to fucking work out. Yeah. Lying sack of shit. And I think that a lot of people end up on under this impression that they're, like, made of glass. Like, they can't handle. Like, it. Oh, this is so hard. Like, I can't deal with this. It's like, no, you can. You're just not letting yourself.
Yeah.
Or worse, you were taught that you can't deal with it.
Right.
You better go talk to a therapist or you better take these pills to deal with it. And I'm not saying that those things are not helpful. Some people really need the SSRIs or whatever they're called. Mm. Some people, I've gone to a therapist. Like, I'm not saying therapy is not good. But what I am saying is, a lot of people are just taught to, like, instantly surrender to the adversity.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deal with this. I have anxiety. Like, right, this is too hard.
Or I'm offended.
I need a, what do they call it now?
A me day.
Personal health day or something.
Oh, a mental health
mental
day.
Mental health day.
Yeah.
Which those, hey, those are great.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like,
when you do it once a month.
Yeah. Right. And like, I know people, they're not my friends. They're friends of friends, let's say, that, like, they don't even know the last time they made it through a whole week without crying or without, like, calling out of work because I was just my anxiety or, like, I was so stressed out.
Just the lack of mental toughness, I think, is where you're going.
Yeah.
There's
and
it's a big problem.
I think that one thing I learned as a reconnaissance Marine, they do this thing to weed out the people that don't really want to be there. And it's called stress inoculation. Where, and I first and foremost, before people, like, rage quit this podcast and, like, well, that's not realistic, right? I get it. It's not realistic. But I'm just saying I've experienced this at its most extreme.
You know?
So you should just be, like, five notches below that. Where they'll do crazy shit to, like, stress you out to the point where, like, you break.
Mm.
And everybody breaks, but they want to see is how much punishment can you take until you, because you're human. Eventually you will meet the end, right? Yeah. So, like, they'll do crazy shit, like, literally make you think that you're going to die, like, drowning or, like, you know, crazy stuff.
Yeah, actually,
or, like,
drown.
Tied to logs.
Yeah. And or, like, you know, just PT or, like, you know, there's all this stuff that puts you under so much stress. In that situation, it's so that by the time you actually see combat, you're so capable of dealing with the stress of combat that you're able to think clearly and fight your way out, right? But for the average person, so many people are, like, so obsessed with being comfortable that, like, the moment anything, like, there are people that go crazy in traffic or like, they had to wait a little bit longer for their Uber Eats order. And it's like, really, dude? Like, that's what you got mad about?
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, oh, well, I can't work out because, like, it's like, no. You know, when someone says, like, oh, man, I'm in so out of shape and, like, oh, this is happening. Oh, that's why, like, thank God I have this Xanax or whatever. And it's like,
Adderall.
Okay, but before you start taking all these pills and you think that you need to spend $1,200 a month on therapy, what's your diet like?
Yeah.
What's your exercise like?
What's your lifestyle like?
You know, like, what's your lifestyle like? Are you drinking every night? Like, are you surrounded by toxic people? Right. That's another thing that's people trying to get healthy, but they're still hanging out with the same dummies that are enabling them. And I think that that's a much more deep seated issue is all the variables surrounding being unhealthy. Right. Because you could be training super hard and eating super clean. But if you're still in a situation that where, like, your mental health problems will fester.
Mm.
Right. And you're not making those changes too, then you're not going to stay healthy.
Mm.
Even if it's, you know, you might temporarily be like what happened to me last time where I got in way better shape. But there were other things I had not addressed personally that kind of put me back on this track to being unhealthy again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think that is not talked about in the right way. There's like this obsession, this like victim culture.
Yeah.
where like you're the fucking victim of everything and it's okay to be like to be weak and all that stuff. And I'm not saying you have to be like this super tough guy either, but I think that there's no like incentive to teach people how to deal with adversity,
mm-hmm.
because now there is like virtue in being the victim.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally, dude. You totally. Know? And that's how we break that is do how you break it is do hard things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to do hard things.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I know I'm like hijacking this podcast, whatever. I bought that.
You don't give a fuck.
I got that Rogue sandbag.
Yeah.
And like, I was so excited for like a week. It took forever to ship. Rogue, get your shit together. But
checking your door every day.
Yeah. I love, side note, I love as like the warehouse manager. Like, I know how fast things can ship. So when something takes like 2 weeks, it's like, fuck you, dude. Like, I know. Sorry, I'm cursing along on this one. Like, eat heck, guys. Like, I know you could have sent that faster. You know, anyway. It finally showed up, and like instantly, I put 150 pounds of sand in it, and I was like, I'm working out right now. You know?
Yeah.
And like, not even halfway through, it was like a third of the way through the workout, I was like, dude, this sucks, man. You know, maybe I'll, and then those little demons in the head are like, it's okay. Maybe let's do something. Like, this will be part of the workout. We'll do jump rope.
We'll do jumping jacks. Yeah.
And I'm like, and then I looked at the sandbag and I was like, I own you, dude.
Yeah.
You don't get to own me.
Totally.
And then I stuck with it. And then I felt so good at the end.
Yes.
And I know this is like cliche because a lot of fitness people say this, but like, dude, the way you feel at the end of a good workout, there's nothing. There's no video game. There's no pill.
Dude.
Yeah,
you know, there's no motivation. There's no Gary Vaynerchuk fucking video that's gonna make you feel that way.
And it came from you.
Yeah,
that's the best part.
I did this thing, and I feel so.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean that goes. That's again doing hard things, and whether that's physical or projects or achieving something, I mean, set out and get after it. You know,
yeah. you guys got me curious. What's your guys' current routine actually, you know, and I'd like to share maybe, you know, some routines for this.
Well, yeah. I wanted to talk about he had a question about hair.
Hit that.
Don't worry about the hair because these changes that you're making are only going to make your hair better.
Cause right now your hair is in worse shape.
Your hair is probably in the worst shape it's ever been. If you're unhealthy right now. So if you start to make these changes, you get active, you circulate your blood, nutrients are moving better, you're eating better, your hair is only going to get better.
To that point, too, it's like, oh, man, I just forgot it.
Think about that, actually, before we move on, anyone else?
Great point, Garf.
I want this guy to hit us back up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And anyone else that needs motivation, dude, we are here for you.
Yeah.
And obviously, first and foremost, we're not health experts. We're just four dudes
passionate.
Figuring it out, just like you. But let's figure it out together.
But here's the thing. We've stacked evidence. We have proof that we've done it, that we've changed.
We got results.
We could show any of our progress pictures from when we started.
Dude.
Hey, here's me when I was 30 more pounds.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I did it. Sean has that. I don't know what you have, but...
It's like beginning and end, dude. Like, but anyways.
Dude, DM the long hairs Instagram or
keep us posted.
You could find my Instagram, DM me and ask for my before picture. I will show you.
Yeah.
I look like a soggy bag of donuts. And then just in 75 days, I wasn't perfect. My body wasn't perfect, but I looked remarkably
good. It's a huge
good.
Change. It's a huge but what, change. What the, yeah. And that building that routine, that mental toughness, that discipline to keep it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I love about 75 hard is like some people that, again, going back to kind of just my way, like having a program helps me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of freaking programs out there. But I was really just drawn to that one. And, you know, not only is it 75 days, it's actually a whole year. There's different phases after you do the first phase.
Mm.
But the bottom line of that whole thing is for you to develop better mental toughness so that you have more discipline so that you can do the things you want to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't mean you need to just be on the program for the rest of your life, but it is, I think, an amazing catalyst to any time you are slipping a little bit to be like, hey, going back to 75 hard because I'm getting a little loose
that's
here.
That's me.
That's
dude.
Your
and
North
then you're
Star.
Like, you're back. You know?
That's me.
That's your North Star.
Yeah.
I just remember it. So the thing is, the awkward stage, having that North Star, that homeostasis point, the awkward stage won't be so awkward once you go through the time of building yourself. Your hair will look sick. Your body will look sick. You'll feel better. So it's this triage of everything falling into place. And that's the beautiful part about this.
Yeah.
And so the hair, you don't got to worry about it. The body, you got to kind of worry about it. You just care about it. You just take care of it and everything else will follow.
Yeah. And remember to find something sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go super hard and then fall off and hard. Don't, you don't want to do the yo-yo roller coaster dieting fitness. Just find something you can do forever and then slowly build up to what your optimal level is.
Answer my question about the routine, man.
There was a question about routines, right? So I used to do the very, like I was on Jim Wendler. I think his name is Jim Wendler's 531.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a powerlifting program.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it, right? But that program's called Boring But Big for a reason. It's boring, but you get pretty freaking jacked at the end, right? And that was the biggest my legs had ever been after squatting like that for like 4 months.
Yeah.
But after a while, it becomes like a chore, right? And in that case, I had to go to the gym to do the program. And I just realized, like, I'm not even really quite enjoying this anymore. It's more like I'm just doing it to keep it up.
Mm.
And then someone that I really idolize, his name's Pat McNamara. He was special operations guy, whatever. You know, now he's more of not an influencer, but just kind of like a personality.
Mm.
And this dude's like I'm pretty sure he's like 60. And if you look at him, it's like, dude, this guy would like kill me. He looks like just like a lion, dude. Mm. Like, anyway, he was talking about his fitness because if you go to his Instagram, it's like half shooting stuff and then half fitness stuff. And this guy, he said, like, I try to never do the same workout twice in a row. He's like, if I do a jump rope, I'll probably jump rope again in like 3 months. But every day I'm going to work out and do different stuff and just kind of keep my body just generally fit.
Nice. Yeah.
So this time around, I really try. Also, another guy I idolize is Pavel Tatsulin. So I was like, okay, I'm kind of sick of the gym, you know, that whole form of fitness. So I'm going to try. I'm just going to do something totally different and just see what it feels like. Because for me, I'm so lazy, dude. I really am. The laziest person I'm pretty sure that I think I know, but I'm also just probably saying that. So anyway, don't trust me. But anyway, the reason why I'm saying that is I hate having to get ready, grab the gym bag, get in the car, drive to the gym, walk in the gym, smells like someone's ass. And then I have to wait in line to do this thing I want to do. And someone's taking selfies. Just the thought of that already gets me to justify why I don't have to go to the gym today.
Sure.
Can you help me record?
That's why you got to go at 5 a.m. though. That's when the...
I know, right? Right, right. So
it's when the real dogs
are in the bird sesh. Yeah. Dog patrol, dude.
So then I was like, okay, how much am I going to spend on a gym membership in a year? And that's whatever times 12, right?
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, why don't I invest that much money in like kettlebells? What's that rope? The jump rope?
Oh, cross rope.
Cross rope. Oh, I bought a cross rope. Got some kettlebells. I got the Rogue Strongman sandbag.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I got everything I need right here. Not to be like jacked, but like to be fit for sure. Right. So I started investing in stuff. And so like now it's like, dude, I'll be in my office and all I want to do is play some video games. And then my kettlebell's right there just looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you going to pick me up today or what?
Yeah.
You turd. Like I know you hear me.
Yeah.
I swear I feel like the kettlebell is
it's like a mirror of you.
Yeah.
Just like.
And then so now it's like I don't have an excuse. Kettlebell's right there, dude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so for me, as far as like my routine, I try to shake it up. I try not to do the same workout twice in a row. But I do have like I do Turkish get ups for 45 minutes, or I'll do this kettlebell circuit for 45 minutes, or I'll try to jump rope. I can't do 45 minutes because I'm a fat turd, but or I'll just go out and throw the sandbag around for 45 minutes and like as soon as I'm done, I'm like, dude, I just hazed myself and I didn't even have to leave the house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think what it comes down to is like make fitness accessible to you.
Mm-hmm.
And fun too.
Yeah. And fun.
Totally.
Routine. Speaking to accessibility, like my routine is really centered around what's available in my neighborhood. So
there's great approach.
I'm with you on that.
There's a sidewalk to walk on. And there's an outdoor calisthenics gym. So I've been doing calisthenics. And if you're not familiar with that, it's just body weight exercises. And if you need heavy weights and you're a heavy guy, you have the weights you need on you.
Yeah, you're carrying it everywhere.
So if you're doing body weight squats at 300 pounds, I mean, that's fucking impressive.
Yeah.
And same with pull-ups. Like, you know, obviously you're not going to start off doing full strict pull-ups, but
yeah,
you can start with, you know, Australian pull-ups with your
bar hang,
feet on the ground and pulling up, you know, at an incline.
Yeah, even just hangs. Yeah.
Or hangs, or doing negatives where you jump up and then slowly let yourself down.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, my routine is, and speaking back to accessibility and sustainability, like, this is something that I can do every day because it's available to me. It's outdoors. I love being outside.
Mm. And it's FOC.
And it's, what is that?
Free of charge.
Free of charge.
Oh, yes. Sick.
Yes, it is. Free, baby.
100% free of charge. The money that I've spent instead of the gym, much like Jose, has gone to investing in a weight vest when my progression had advanced to the point where, like, you know, doing 30 push-ups in a row my goal is not endurance. My goal is muscle building. So I want to stay within the muscle building hypertrophy rep ranges. So 30 push-ups, probably not ideal. So I got a weight vest and that, you know, now I'm struggling to do 20, and that's exactly where I want to be. And so I walk down to the pier. I walk up to the calisthenics gym. I do my workout for about an hour, all in. It's an hour and a half, 4 days a week. And I do an upper body day on Monday. I do a lower body day on Tuesday. I walk on Wednesday, upper body Thursday, lower body Friday, walk Saturday, Sunday. And when I'm actually at the calisthenics gym, I'm walking around the park in between my sets. I have a 3-minute rest in between sets. Mm-hmm. I basically walk those same 2 miles that I do in my off days at the gym because I'm walking in between sets. So it's something I can do every day if I wanted to. It's something I could continue on. What I also love about calisthenics too is that if you are a heavier person, like, just by nature, because you're moving your own body, calisthenics promotes a lower body fat percentage because your body is not going to be able to move itself productively if it's carrying a bunch of extra body fat. So just by the nature of the type of exercises, you know, it's like a physiological incentive to shed pounds so that you can better move your own body. That's what I really love about calisthenics. And it's easy on the joints. You're not pushing, you know, 300 pounds, you know, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
It's easy on the joints.
Yeah.
Recovery time is pretty decent, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, that's my deal.
Yeah, it's a great approach. Got a workout in with you. Would like to get some more on that.
Well, they're building another calisthenics park right across
the
street.
Can't wait for that.
Heck yeah, dude.
For that.
No excuse. Just cruise over there, huh?
I really need a place to do dips. I need something for that.
Right there, man.
Yeah.
On your walk.
That's going to be phenomenal. I've been taking a very endurance-based approach just for the race that I got coming up. So I've been running a lot of miles. But I started the year. Let me go back. At the end of last year, you know, holidays and everything with the fam and all the stuff. Let me even go back before that. Completing 75 hard last year really changed my whole everything. And I mean, you guys saw me go from 210 to 180, I think was where I ended. And that was the first time and still even to this point, the only time I actually fully completed 75 hard. Now I've been on 75 hard pretty much ever since, but I haven't completed the full complete round of 75 days, but I've committed that as just like, it's just been my lifestyle.
Yeah.
And going into this year, towards the end of last year with the family trips and seeing stuff, you know, I kind of went back a little bit. There was like 2 weeks where I kind of was like drinking again and I was only getting one walk in and I wasn't doing the two workouts. And just like Jose was saying, like even just a few weeks, like fully off program, I'm just like, it's already coming back. That devil starts laying layers back on super quick, dude. So Jan 1 came and I was just committed, like not back on, like full go. And then, so I've been, and even up to this day, I've done two workouts per day. This year, I've only missed 3 days now of doing two workouts. So, yes, I would have completed 75 hard if I just I have missteps. I missed a progress picture one day.
Yeah.
I had a thing with my cousin and I ended up having to be at an ER. And that's one of the days I missed my second workout. I decided to have a beer with Sean after we and Chris after we launched the Great Cut Site because I was like, why not? And, you know, ended up having a few beers. But
yeah.
It was it's not why not. It was like I'm making a choice right now to have this beer because I'm really stoked on what we just did together. And that was a valid reason too. Now, this is kind of another conversation I think we should get into in a second is those vices and like managing them, like what's acceptable, what's not. In my mind, for because I'm just weird and I really look up to Sean because he does a great job managing this where I'm like really bad. It's like there's this line in my mind of like you're either full on or full off. You know, it's like if you're not drinking, you don't drink at all. Nothing. But then it's like, yeah, OK, if you decide to have a beer, then it's like, all right. 15 beers. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I take it way too many extremes.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with weed and stuff too. Like, you know, it's either like, yeah, full off or it's like, yeah, full on, like blazing every freaking day.
Well, before we get into that, what's your routine?
There's a couple more points I want to bring up just about my routine. Cause I do want to get into that, but just cause I get a lot of people who hit me up like, dude, how do you do two workouts a day?
Yeah.
Sean just said he's 90 minutes, right? So is mine. I just separate them. So there's morning and then there's evening. And I think there's like people perceive like the two workout thing per day is like, oh God, that must be so hard and stuff. Well, yeah, it is hard. It's not easy. It's hard. But you're not doing two max workouts both times.
Yeah.
You know? I approach it as like I'm going to do one super hard workout a day and then – and maybe some days it's not even super hard, it's just hard. The second workout is always more of a recovery-based workout. It's a pliability routine. Mm-hmm. It's just a walk.
Mobility.
Maybe it's maybe it's just a slow jog. Or it's like using bands, just kind of get the joints going and stuff.
Yeah.
Where if I ran 12 miles in the morning, you know, I'm not going to go run another 8 miles or go lift heavy weights in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Some days I throw that in when I feel really good, but a lot of it has turned into listening to my body and really understanding where it's at and how far I could push it and knowing when like, hey, I need a stretch day today or I need, and you know, just taking that initiative to do those things. So my routine is like lifting a lot, mostly running, and then a lot of pliability, mobility, stretching type stuff. And it's been working out great. I feel amazing. Feel better than ever.
It's freaking awesome.
Pretty
man.
Close to six pack here.
Nice.
So
nice.
Pretty stoked on that.
It's a matter of time, man. Just got to keep it going.
I don't know where my body type falls into.
Yeah.
Like I'm not a person who's like easily just gets shredded.
Yeah.
I get more like thick. You know, like even if I'm lifting hard, like I don't get super clean definition in my arms or like cuts in my chest. I just kind of get like bigger.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, so I don't know if that's an endomorphic.
Embrace it, dude.
Yeah.
Embrace it.
I think those body types are even debated.
They're
if that's
questionable,
like a real
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Oh, they are. Okay.
There's been some new research
yeah.
lately about, yeah, the body type
okay.
stuff, the categorization.
Yeah. yeah.
Garv, your routine.
Man, I love sharing this part. For me, I break it down from the fundamentals. First and foremost, I do stuff mainly for functionality and to keep myself mobile. Because I got to think in the future, you know, like the way we would think of retirement, I don't want to be 70 and not be able to move. Like I want to have a full functioning body like I do right now. And my routine goes along with yours about being, having it, accessible.
Localized and accessible, yeah.
Accessible. So accessibility is huge. So for me, I had done what you used to do, and not to your extent of adding weight, but I've actually toned it back down and focused on the fundamentals. I looked back to some military stuff. I have this Navy SEALs workout book, and there's one that stuck out to me, which was burpees, the six-count burpees. Because if you did the full where you would jump up, it would gas you out. So going back to like what I'm looking for is the functionality and then to be able to have that endurance because I'm always on the move and I got to be accessible. So if I'm out there, like for instance, we were at the, in Michigan, we had a gym, but if I didn't have a gym, I would still be fine.
Right.
So right now I'm at 6-count burpees. I got a lot of walking. So wait, let me start from the top. I wake up in the morning, don't have any food. I have water. And then I'll do my squats. And when I get to the office, I've already done my walking because I told you guys I would go to the trolley. And then in between, I don't eat because right now it's the month of Ramadan. So I've decided to kind of like do this like don't eat during the day thing. And it's not like a extreme thing. I've progressed into this. And I would take the middle of the day. These guys have seen it. I would do a 10 to 15 minute timer and just straight up go 6-count burpees until exhaustion.
Nice.
And after that, I'll hit up the pull-up bar.
Yeah.
Until exhaustion. So I know my body where I don't have a specific goal, but I want to keep it in this perpetual maintenance where if Linz hits me up like, hey, you want to go run like 6 miles? All right, I'll see you there. I'm ready. Because my heart and my body's just ready to go. And so that's where my whole thing is. It's just all about just being ready all the time. So
yeah. Dude, it's great shit, man. Great stuff. Something I want to make a note of that is, I think, to going back to our guy here, dude, document what you do. That progress pic is great. You don't need to be on 75 hard to do the progress pic. Just do it, you know, every day. Just take a picture from when you start to where you're going, and you won't even really know till you go back and look and be like, dude, I'm proud of myself. I freaking did this, dude. I made a massive change.
Huge.
And then also, if you feel compelled to share your stuff on social media, whether it's you just working out, got something to say about whatever. I am blown away. You know, I kind of jump on my personal and go on little rants and say stuff. How many people hit me back in the DM when I do that stuff and say, like, send me pictures of their progress? Or they'll be like, dude, you fire me up, man. Keep it going. I've lost 5 pounds just because, like, you got me going. Yeah. Like, I have so – dude, there's, like, at least a good 20, 30 people who I know, like, when I put those out, I'm like, dude, those people – and these videos matter to them. Like, they're freaking making changes. And as stupid as it seems when I'm doing it, sometimes I'm just like – it matters, you know? And if you're willing to share your story or get it out there, or put some, you know, just juice out, people are going to accept it. You never know how it's going to motivate anybody to love make that. Their move and get their transition going. So just, you know, if you feel compelled, do it. Cause it's a cool way to give, I think.
Yeah. Plus there's something about, like, it's one thing to obviously have like fitness people that I personally follow and like that's kind of, I align myself with their teachings.
Yeah.
But there is something else to be said about congregating with just like regular dudes. Like none of us are experts.
Right.
But we're just trying to figure it out just like anybody else.
Yeah.
And we're all in various stages of figuring it out and whatever. Right. Yeah. So like anyone that's watching, that's like, dude, we're like you. Like, we're just normal guys. I'm not even in the best shape of my life right now. Yeah. Right. But I'm trying to get it together. So if you need someone, DM me. Dude, go ahead, please DM
fellow travelers.
Hit us up.
I'll tell you where I'm at with it and what's been working for me. And you can tell me what's been working for you. Maybe we'll learn from each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Love that.
You don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
Right. And like, maybe every single person you know is out of shape, but and it's like, it's so, you know, it's easy to fall into that trap because everybody else around you is doing it. But, you know, maybe you're the guy that changes everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have us. You hit us up.
Totally.
And we're here to share some stuff and we want to know your progress too.
Yeah. One other last thing I want to get in here before we, you know, I think we're getting a little tight on our time here, but actually we can go as long as we freaking want. This is our deal.
Yeah, I do have a point I want to do after this. Go ahead.
Okay, but is when you're in the bathroom, we were talking about it, like, you know, substance. When you're in this mindset, you know, you want to, if you're gung-ho and you're on a program that you really should follow, you shouldn't probably go booze it up and do these things. But there's this line that I struggle with this hard, right? It's either I'm fully off and it's not doing it, it's all bad and everything.
Right.
Or it's like, all right, I'm going to have a beer. I'm going to have unlimited
polar opposites
beers
intense,
right now.
Dude.
I'm going to have like 15, you know?
Extreme opposites.
And I just know that's like a weakness that I deal with. And it's the same thing with any substance. I mean, the only two substances I really mess with is weed and alcohol. But you know, I battle kind of with that. There's no like, yeah, I'll just have two casual beers. It's like, no, dude, if I'm having two, I might as well have six. Or like, why am I even drinking if I'm not going
to
get drunk?
Yeah. That's kind of my whole thing.
Like, and like, I guess what I'm getting at is there's times when if that's not your daily routine and you've gone hard and you've put a lot of like, you know, days strung a bunch of days together and you decide you want to have a beer on a day for whatever reason, maybe it's celebratory, maybe you're proud of something, maybe you want to have a buddy you haven't seen in 4 years or something.
Yep.
Don't beat yourself up about it. Mm-hmm. Just get right back on track when it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's kind of what I'm learning and getting mm-hmm. at. Because it's really easy to let that day go, and then you're like, the next morning, you're like, oh, I feel like shit, I don't have a mimosa. And then it's like, now you're like 4 days in of just boozing.
Yeah.
But see, you know yourself.
That's how I've gotten pretty fat, is like, ah, it's just this one, man. And then, but I don't realize it's been like 40 days of just this one.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm 20 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
It's like, shit, I did it again, dude. You know?
For me, it's, the longevity, like my goal is to be a whole person.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not a fitness guy. I'm not a business guy. I'm not a, you know, I'm like not, I don't want like to be boxed in. I just want to be a whole person. I want to be able to enjoy the things that I like. I like beer. I like smoking cigarettes sometimes. I like smoking weed. Like I love doing all those things.
Yeah.
And those are part of like the things that I enjoy on top of, you know, progressing in fitness and the self-confidence that it's given me. And, you know, if I slip up every once in a while, like, I think that that's the switch is like, no, this isn't a slip up. Like, this is Sean being Sean.
Yeah. I'm making a conscious decision now that I'm going to drink, and that's fine. I'm just back on it tomorrow. Like,
and enjoy it.
That's the key. I think the key thing you got to apply.
Yeah. And it's, like you said, conscious decision. There were so many days when I mentioned like I was drinking 5-7 beers a night, going to bed drunk every night, you know, and like struggling to get up in the morning. Like that was just automatic. Like, I'm done with work. I'm going to the bar, and then I'm going to chill at the bar until it's time to go to bed.
Yeah.
And that was just automatic. And now it's like, okay, it's a conscious thing where it's like, I'm getting home from work. Well, I'm going to heat up some dinner. I'm going to go make some dinner. Like, I could go for a beer right now. Like, do I really need it? Like, no. And maybe I do some work instead. Maybe I watch some TV instead. Maybe I decide, I'm going to go have a beer or three tonight. Like, whatever. And then the next morning, but I know the next morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to do what I do every morning because this is what I do now.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm hungover in the morning, I'm walking. It doesn't matter.
Like, right, exactly.
I'll go walk it off.
It's internalized.
I don't do the weekday binges anymore. It's like, but Friday night, like maybe I'll have a few too many. And Saturday morning, I'm still going to go for my walk and it's going to hurt a little bit more. And then, but I still got it in. And then I'm going to go take a nap on the couch because it's fucking Saturday. So I got my walk in. I napped for an hour when I got back. And then I'm, you know, working on personal work after that or go hanging out with friends or tossing the frisbee with buddies or paddleboarding or having some more beers because it's Saturday. just, you know, like none of us, especially me, I'm not the picture of like health and fitness. You know, like I smoked a cigarette after my workout this morning because I had an extra one that my buddy gave me from last night. And it's like, you know,
love that, man.
It's about your goals though, too. Like if your goal is just longevity and
being a whole person,
maybe you just want to look good in nudes.
It's a slippery slope though. That's where it gets dangerous, is the slippery slope. Sure. It's like,
because
some people can just be like, oh, this one cigarette, and then they won't smoke maybe another one for 4 months.
Yeah.
It's the other people, like, you got to know yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're the person, it's like, oh, I could be the one cigarette guy, and then you do it, and then the next day you buy a pack, and then you're just back to smoking.
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem.
I think we're touching on accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
You have to be accountable, right? And like I said before, there's no right. I mean, of course, you probably shouldn't smoke crack, right? But like,
or cigarettes
within
really.
within reason. I mean, I enjoy a cigarette.
20 different chemicals in that.
Yeah. I just like tobacco, right?
Yeah.
But I think there is a limit of like within reason, and everyone knows what within reason means generally, right?
Sure.
Within reason, there's really no right or wrong. type level of fitness or, you know, diet or whatever, you know, don't eat cheeseburgers every day. Don't smoke a lot of cigarettes. You probably shouldn't get drunk every night.
Yeah.
You know, you should generally do something for your body. Maybe it's just a walk. Maybe you do some push-ups, or maybe you go and haze yourself at the gym. Like, that's great too, right? But generally speaking, you got to be accountable to the choices that you make.
Yeah.
And if you know you're all, you get home, you turn the TV on, and you hear that Netflix like dun dun.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, man, I could probably get I could probably do some fitness stuff right now.
Yep. While watching it.
But you know, you're gonna sit down, and as soon as your ass touches that couch, your ass is not getting back up again. Man. And then all of a sudden, it's midnight, and you just watch 4 hours of Netflix. Yeah. You know you fucked up.
Yep. Yeah.
And you should hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
I've done it, dude.
Feel like crap about that.
Yeah. I've done that. I'm saying that from personal experience, where I realize, like, dude, I just gamed for like 3 hours and I didn't work out today, and like I just blew it. Like, yeah. There was easily
plenty of time.
I could have worked out for 45 minutes and still played games for 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah,
dude.
I'm reading this book Atomic Habits right now, and he has a really good mechanism for doing
That's
this or talking about this. Is like, okay. Make it the reward. Like, if you want to play video games, but you need to work out, tie the two together. I don't play video games unless I work out.
Yeah.
Do the workout first, then I get to play video games. Yeah. And you do that consistently, then it becomes a habit of, oh, I work out, and then I play video games.
Yeah. No, I think there's definitely something to that, especially I used to do that with food. So, because, like, I'm Chamorro, dude. I will eat. If you put food in front of me, I'll eat it and not even realize it. I'm not even hungry, but just there's food. Like, if there's nuts on the tail, I'm going to grab a handful of almonds.
Thing.
I just can't help it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if I know, like, man, you drive by Carl's Jr. and you're like, man, one of those jalapeno $6 burgers, dude. Damn, son. I want one of those. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to have one, but I'm going to do legs tomorrow. Like, that's what worked for me personally. Where it's like, okay, I'm going to have the 6 beers tonight, but tomorrow's leg day, you know? Yeah. It's like, then I start like, damn, dog, do I really want to do 14 sets of squats for this burger? You know, like, it's like, you know what? Yes. Right? But that's accountability, right? But you got to have accountability. You can't just do your luxury lifestyle or sedentary lifestyle and not pay for it on the back end.
Yeah.
You know, just like you can't keep swiping the credit card and not pay the bill.
Yeah.
To tie it all up, though, to bounce off accountability, I feel like it's all going to grow on you. All this stuff's just going to stick at some point, and you're going to like it, and you're going to have the holistic, you know, like, oh, I could have some beers, and then you're like, ah, you know, I want a challenge. You know what? Jump back to 75 hard. And it's just going to be there because you've built that for yourself.
Sure.
Because what you want to do is build that internal house or foundation that you can always rely on, and the accountability comes in. And then, like, the support of friends, the curiosity of challenging yourself and just putting yourself in this perpetual motion and not perpetual punishment, perpetual curiosity and
advancement
betterment. You're not punishing yourself to stop the beers, to stop the meat or anything. It's like you want to just go like, can I do that? You know, can I try with the weight vest? You know, like there's so many different options for yourself and it's all you and you get that's the beautiful part. You get progress far.
Yeah.
And you got yourself a receipt at the end of it that you can always look back on. I got this receipt.
Yeah.
Like this is what I did. I did this thing. That's a foundation for confidence there is when you can look back at something you've accomplished. No one can take that from you. You did it.
Yeah.
You've done this thing.
It's all yours. The evidence. You've stacked it up. Alex Hormozi has been this guy's on fire right now. He's putting out so much good stuff. If you haven't heard of him, check him out. He's got some great content. But he talks about a lot. It's just no one can take your wins from you. No one can take the mountain of evidence that like when you do the work, the evidence that is there, that's
yours.
You. That's your value. That's everything. And to kind of tie it all up into the fitness, it's like your way you carry yourself, the way you look, the way you live, the health that you have is that. It's that receipt, you know?
And that's something that can't be bought too. That's I think is the one thing that's given me the most confidence of all the accolades or awards or clients I've had or whatever. Like that's cool. And yes, those were confidence boosters. And yes, I have that mountain of evidence when it comes to my career. But at the end of the day, like no one, you can't pay for your physical fitness. You can't. You have to earn it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the, it's like the one thing.
It's like a meritocracy.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no surgery to just make you fit. Like, you could get tits and abs and whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. But like that's fake.
Yeah. Yeah. It's prosthetic, dude.
You're not going to be able to go do the pull-ups. You're not going to be able to do the push-ups. You're not going to be able to go run.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't fake it.
No.
Yeah. You can't.
No, you're right. And I, but I hear what you're saying and it's true, dude. Like you carved that. Asked like that part of you out of stone.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
You couldn't buy. There's no store that you could walk out. Yeah. Nope. You can walk out with it.
That's the one thing. Like there, you know, I've. It's the one thing. Like you see somebody who's like, you know, let's say they're rich and successful and whatever, and they're but they're, you know, they could have had and they're fit, right? They could have had everything handed to them on a silver platter, eaten out of a silver spoon their whole life.
Right.
But the fact that they're physically fit,
yeah.
It's like that's the one thing. Like I could tell that person worked for that.
Yeah,
you know,
yes. They have discipline. They have mental toughness. Like they,
yeah,
you can't get handed that.
Mm-mm.
Right.
I mean, you could have good genetics and stuff, but that only gets you so far.
Yeah, yeah.
You still got to put in the work.
You could be a fat turd with good genetics too.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You
totally.
Know. So obviously, I've said this. Like this is the last time I'll say this. There's not one way to do it, right?
You'll never hear.
But
here,
as we're, I'm sure we're kind of. Working towards the end of the show here, can you name like a piece of content? So it could be a book, a YouTube channel, or something that you would personally would recommend to someone.
Yes.
And so let's do some type of content and then some type of fitness.
Yep.
Okay.
And so what would you recommend to someone? And because I know we're gonna get probably like four different answers, which is what I'm aiming for.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
For me, prior to starting 75 Hard, I read Andy Frisella's book. He has a book called 75 Hard. Read that. And it just talks about his whole story. He was like 380 pounds and he developed this program because he was just sick of being a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And the whole main thing, you know, all online, everybody talks about it like it's a challenge and it's a fitness challenge. It's not what it is at all. It's a mental toughness program. And there's nothing out there that is, there's plenty of fitness programs, billion. This one is specifically about mental toughness. So that's a book that I would, that's in the vein of everything we talked about that really benefited myself.
Love that.
Also, finally, just last month, read Think and Grow Rich, which blew me away. Mm. I don't know why I've been sitting on that book for
reference
years.
Reference one, dude.
But, dude, that book is absolutely phenomenal.
We just connected on that phenomenal. When we first met. Yeah, I remember.
It's more money, not so much fitness, but it does talk a little bit about the importance of taking care of yourself.
Ties in.
But it's all about mental, the mental aspect, and you can't have that without being freaking in control of your body.
Yeah.
You know? And then is what was the other thing? So book
so
and
book and work. Then some what type of exercise?
Oh yeah. And so again, I'll go back to what I said. Put a date on the calendar. Challenge yourself. It's a 5K, 10K, a Spartan race, a swim, triathlon, anything. It's a great challenge. Great way that when the day is going to show up, you're either going to fight or get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
The bell's going to ring. You're going to be in there. So it's a good. That's what I would say.
Okay. Elefante?
I would say specifically for our buddy here, being a heavy dude and who struggled to either get it off for the first time or keep it off, I would look up Ethan Suplee and his weight loss journey.
Mm-hmm.
He is the massive white dude from Remember the Titans.
Yeah, yeah.
He, I think it was a couple of years ago, went through just an insane transformation, and he talks about his journey. I think would be really helpful for you. And to tack on to that, his coach is a content creator, YouTube channel called Renaissance Periodization. And it's a bodybuilding channel that's all science backed that, is kind of headed by this guy named Dr. Mike Isratel. And I've been using his kind of programming structure with calisthenics movements. So, he's a bodybuilding coach, competitive bodybuilding coach, and I really like the body weight movements that calisthenics employs. And so I've taken the bodybuilding programming and the concept of progressive overload and periodizing your training blocks and all that, and I've incorporated it into calisthenics and now moving into weighted calisthenics, and that's been huge. It's I've never, my body has never looked the way it's looked right now.
Nice.
Even when I was a wrestler in high school and a swimmer, like I look freaking like a totally different.
Dude, you
person.
Look good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You really do.
Thanks.
Yeah. Energy's up there.
Quick note on Ethan Suplee. He lost 100 pounds twice.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
And wow. it was crash diets. And he talks about like, man, all that stuff. Like it would always just come back. It always came back.
Yeah.
And it was a lifestyle and mental change for him and finding something that was sustainable and going back to sustainability, something you can do repeatedly until the very end.
Love it.
Sick, man. For me, I wanted to shout out Atomic Habits again. That's a really good one because of just the small increments make a huge difference.
Yep.
And then Think and Grow Rich is a great reference one. What's the one? Hold on. Oh, and then there's a book by Dr. Stephen Fung called Intermittent Fasting. I don't think that's the exact title. It might be like The Guide to Intermittent Fasting. But what I like, one takeaway I got from that book was about how when you do fasting, your body goes through ketosis. And that's where the keto diet stems from, that term. But what happens is that your body breaks down and it's able to kind of like feast off of what you have in your body. So if you have all that fat or anything, like it could just eat off of those reserves. And since you had mentioned a YouTube channel, there's a guy, I think he's in the Marines, but he does nothing but burpees. And he goes everywhere and he just does burpees. And his body is freaking jacked.
Yeah, it's one of the best movements.
And it's so fun. You get your cardio and you don't get injuries. It's just all in one. It's fun. I at first it was really grueling at first, but then it felt like running because like as you get to like the 50s and up, you just start want to do more and you just get into the zone. So,
yeah.
Funny story about burpees. When I was in the Marines, I was 5 minutes. The only time I was ever late, I was late one time when I was at Second Recon. I was late. I was 5 minutes late, and I messed up. It wasn't like an accident. I was negligent, and my team leader made me do 500 burpees.
Holy crap.
100 for, it was 100 per minute.
Damn.
And I was never late again after. I mean, never. I was never late before. I fucked up that
How
one
time.
How
long did it take you to do 500?
Oh, dude.
What'd you do them in 20s or
all
what?
All morning. No, I don't even remember. But yeah, all morning. And I, but the thing is, it was like physically grueling. That was also like one of the most fit times of my life.
Yeah.
So it was still hard.
Yeah.
Right? But like, it was the mental, like this didn't have to happen. I dishonored myself by not being responsible. And now here I am like paying the consequences, man.
The price.
One more.
But that was all yours. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. That was it.
One more channel on YouTube. You were talking about how, you know, one of your guys never does the same workout.
Pat McNamara.
Yeah. So there's another guy. His channel is called The Bioneer. And he is all about like using your environment to train.
Yes.
And he's always doing different movements.
Doing
weird carries, like carrying logs and doing pull-ups on tree branches.
Functional shit.
And yeah, it's all functional training. And he incorporates some bodybuilding, some calisthenics, some mobility, like all kinds of stuff. Yeah. His channel is really great. The Bioneer.
One more.
Wait, Jose didn't even get to say his book.
Yeah,
hold on, one more turn? Jesus, man.
I just want to throw one more in there. The hypercalisthenics, we had him as a guest.
Yeah.
He's a good beginner guy. Like, he advocates for people to do calisthenics because it's just easy. It's there.
And the progressions, too.
Yeah.
One thing that's rad about calisthenics is that there's progressive movements to get to the pull-up. You know, you don't have to do a pull-up immediately. You can progress to that. Or a bodyweight squat or lunges.
And a good testament to the effectiveness of calisthenics is gymnasts.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
They do. They don't only do calisthenics, but like those guys are living proof. No one looks
they're
at a gymnast
jacked.
And it's like oh, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Like, no, those guys are insane.
Yes.
Like just superhuman strong.
Yeah.
And they do a shit ton of calisthenics.
Yeah.
But okay. So for me, it's going to be two of mine are hand in hand. So get a kettlebell. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Get a light, especially if you're starting from nothing, get a light kettlebell. Okay. Look up Kettlebell Simple and Sinister by Pavel Tatsalin. That literally, you know when people say like, okay, what's square one? Mm. That book, especially for kettlebell training, is literally, there's no level below that. That is the absolute start of kettlebell training. And he's reduced it down to literally two movements with the kettlebell. But I'm telling you, like, that workout is as easy or as hard as you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I've done it. It's called Simple and Sinister because there's two levels to it.
Yeah.
There's Simple, and then the hard one's called Sinister. I can't even do Simple. I mean, I can technically complete it, but I can't complete it within the standard.
Mm.
So, like, even now I fail it, right? But, like, that's the easiest. There's nothing easier than that. Kettlebell, Simple and Sinister, right? As far as content, I'm going to refer back to Pat McNamara.
Yep.
Simply because, number one, he's like if G.I. Joe retired and you just get to see how his life is like now.
Uh-huh.
But he's constantly showing, like, today he's working out with tension bands and tomorrow it's going to be throwing these weights against a tree. And, like, the next day it's, like, balancing while holding a sledgehammer. Like, it's so just abstract, and this guy, but every day this guy's training, and he's like in his 60s now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. He does the basic dude stuff too.
Yeah. Right? He's the basic dude stuff guy. And also his shooting content is in like perfection. Like, that guy just is amazing. Yeah. Right.
Great recommend.
Follow him. It's super entertaining. And also it shows you, like, man, I don't need to, cause it could be like pretty intimidating getting started.
Yeah.
And I don't know where to start. And it's like, this guy's a perfect example. Like, go buy a band.
Grab a block. He does a lot of blocks.
He does a lot of, there's videos where he literally just works out with a cinder block.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah.
I did that before.
And so just start small. What's the smallest thing you can do? The easiest thing you can do? What is the most accessible? Go for a walk. You know, go buy a 50 pound sandbag is $4.99 at Home Depot. By the way, I just learned that. Like, go buy a cinder block. Be like Pat McNamara. You know what? I'm going to swing this cinder block in the backyard. You know.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation. Simple and Sinister, and buy a cheap kettlebell.
Cool. We all want you
awesome
to win,
stuff,
dude.
Guys. I think that was great. Great question from our gentleman there, and I hope we you know, gave you enough there to get that ass moving, baby.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
DM us. We want to hear from you.
Yes, we do.
This is a call to action. Hit us up. We're not going to give you advice because we're not experts, but we're gonna show you that we're on this journey together.
Yep.
Hit us up.
We're going to figure it out for us.
We'll do a massive ruck with you.
Guys, anybody who's listening, thank you very much. Just want to make you aware, we do have all of our podcasts recorded on video on the old YouTube channel there. Going to keep these podcasts rolling out. We've been on a pretty good hot streak, so let's keep it rolling.
Love it.
All right, guys. That's it. Hit us up. Thank you. Love you.
See you.